Welcome to AM Best Audio.
The insurance market saw significant changes in the fourth quarter of 2024, with auto and property insurance shopping increasing 20% year over year, according to TransUnion's latest Insurance Trends and Perspectives report. Profitability for both markets, however, remains uneven. While auto insurance is nearing rate adequacy, property insurers are grappling with limited rate increases and substantial losses from Hurricanes Helene and Milton. The challenges persist into 2025, with wildfires in Southern California already causing additional losses. As consumers continue to shop for lower rates, insurers have a chance to refine their acquisition strategies, leveraging data segmentation to target high-quality prospects effectively. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio, and joining us now to discuss that is Patrick Foy. He's a Senior Director of Strategic Planning for TransUnion's insurance business. Patrick, welcome. So wonderful to speak with you. So glad you can join us today.
Thank you, Lori. I'm glad to be here.
So, Patrick, can you tell us about some of the key findings from TransUnion's latest report?
Yes, definitely. So, in this quarter's report, as you highlighted, we continue to see record shopping trends for both auto and property, which both lines individually are up over 20% over prior year. This trend has really held up persistently for every report we've seen in auto since late 2022. As well as early 2024 for property. And the increase persists to varying degrees for all of our major subgroups. So when we look into shopping trends within insurance score, age and generational groups, and sublines such as tenant or homeowners individually, we're seeing that same pattern hold up to varying degrees.
And what were the key factors that contributed to the 20% year-over-year increase in auto and property insurance shopping in last year's fourth quarter?
Yeah, there are a couple of factors that are driving that, Lori. First of all is ongoing rate and profitability activities, most notably in the homeowners line, right? So we're starting to see a wind down, but there is still some lingering rate actions within the personal auto business. But that's really, you know, where, you know, kind of the first movers in terms of profitability actions have largely abated, you know, from, you know, their rate activity. But we're still very much in the thick of that in the homeowner side of the business. Homeowners are still struggling with profitability, as you highlighted, primarily due to, you know, the cat weather events, but also due to these prolonged rate actions, right? And then personal auto, as I mentioned, has been the story there is that, you know, kind of the folks that were maybe not the fastest movers out the gate, they're still starting to see some of those activities earn into their books. The other factor that's really driving the increase in the shopping is a renewed focus by many of those auto insurers turning the page on their profitability actions, primarily through the increases in marketing and advertising. Marketing and advertising is up. I think we all can anecdotally speak to that just from, you know, the content that we're seeing on TV or when we interact on websites, when we're browsing the internet. But efforts have become overall increasingly sophisticated. So we're starting to see bigger increases and less traditional sources compared to the more legacy conventional TV and direct mail sources. They're still up, but the really biggest increases are in things like digital, connected TV, email marketing, and more sophisticated approaches.
Absolutely interesting. Well, you had just mentioned profitability. Just expanding a bit on that, if we may, the report highlights that despite increased shopping, profitability in auto and property insurance remains uneven. What key challenges are insurers facing in maintaining profitability?
Yeah, so in the auto side, you know, they've really turned the corner, right? And they're refocusing their agency forces towards more pro-growth postures. So for the larger part of those, the days of profitability actions, such as mass portfolio re-underwriting, new business moratoriums, you know, some of those things that really caused pain for many consumers have largely subsided. But on the property side, it's all about the persistent cat activity, you know, and then the impacts, generally speaking, on where insurers were slower to implement rate and profitability actions. The auto insurers were quicker to react to, you know, the onset of inflation back in 2022 and 23. And, you know, there are also structural differences just in the way the policies are designed, right? Auto has a shorter policy term. Typically, many customers, buy 6-month policies. And that's actually a little bit of a benefit for the auto insurers, right? Because they can actually affect profitability a lot more quickly in their rate activity, because, you know, it doesn't take as long for those changes to earn into insurers' portfolios.
As you just mentioned about persistent cat activity, we've certainly seen a growing number of these natural disasters in recent years. The property insurance market is facing constraints due to losses from those events and also limited rate increases. How are insurers adapting to these pressures? And what impact do you think this year's wildfires in Southern California might have on the broader property insurance market?
Sure. So broadly speaking, the industry appears to be well capitalized, and insurers in general are well positioned to meet their needs of their consumers. So I would say that, again, it's not going to be an industry capital event, but insurers will need to continue to work to identify policies in difficult to price markets where they cannot achieve an adequate capital return. They may take isolated actions to address those policies. So it is important that insurers continue working with their customers to, you know, continue to meet the needs of those customers while also working to, you know, work with regulators to shore up the markets and ensure that there is an adequate, you know, there's an ability for them to achieve an adequate rate of return while also ensuring the, you know, customers are able to have choice.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
The report estimates that 11% of drivers have ratable violations found in traffic court records, but not in motor vehicle records. Patrick, how can insurers leverage this data for more accurate underwriting and pricing?
Yeah, so that was one area we highlighted in the report. The court records, we feel, represent a unique opportunity and attractive alternative to more traditional driving record reports, such as MVRs, because they're able to use more kind of national footprint views to do a couple different things. First of all, you know, up front, they can reduce overall report spend by either driving a lower price point are also using indicator tools that actually react to information that's on the report to forego ordering a full report. And then they can leverage that data matching to find more violations than kind of more traditional processes that are at an individual state level. They also can be used in other points in the insurance value chain besides risk and underwriting. So it's not just a pricing play. They can be incorporated into acquisition strategies so that you can tailor your risk preferences to certain driving histories. You know, some insurers may want only clean drivers, and other insurers may actually feel confident they can price for certain driving events, and they may actually seek out drivers that have, you know, perhaps, kind of more of a spotty driving history. And then there are also claims use cases. So really, there's a lot of different value that court records can bring across the entire insurance value chain.
As consumers continue to shop for lower insurance rates, how are insurers responding to this trend while maintaining sustainable pricing?
Right. So ultimately, as insurers spent the better part of the last 2 years right-sizing their insurance portfolios, despite their renewed focus on growth, they're also kind of having an eye on the pulse, and they're cognizant of not allowing their books to become mispriced again. So insurers are increasingly relying on maximizing their use in both internally and externally available data in order to ensure they have a complete view of risks and taking a long-term view towards bringing profitably priced risks on the book. You know, that's always one thing. And, you know, my prior experience, we've always been mindful of, right, is the insurance industry obviously operates a bit on a continuum and really, you know, trying to minimize the disruption of when that pendulum and when risk appetite swings has always been important. They're also focusing on improving operational fundamentals and marketing, underwriting, and claims management, not just to, you know, to not just controlling the pricing side of the equation, but also making sure they're managing the expense side of the equation in order to ensure they can provide the most affordable rates possible.
How do you see the role of alternative data sources evolving in insurance underwriting and policy lifestyle management?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's more data and sophisticated modeling comes available. I believe early adopters are likely to be quicker to test out many of these new capabilities to determine what, if any, consumer acquisition or segmentation advantage can be gleaned from incorporating new data sources. So we see this happen throughout the insurance value chain, most notably with some of these early adopters. The more sophisticated insurers are more quick to test out some of these maybe less conventional data sets to determine if there is predictive lift. You know, they start, you know, kind of pushing that probably first into risk and underwriting, but also deploying that throughout the rest of the insurance value chain. And for example, we see it, we're seeing that happen right now in other lines of insurance, which are greatly ramping up their analytical sophistication, you know, for example, commercial insurance.
And Patrick, looking ahead, what emerging trends should insurers now be watching and how can they adapt to the evolving market landscape?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of questions we should ask. Are we going to see a continuation of more predictability and predictable patterns in personal insurance? So return to kind of, you know, more traditional cycles, such as, you know, continued slowing of rate activity. So kind of operating on that continuum. And then also coupling that with a return to more normal CAT activity. Or are we going to go back to 2022, which saw an uptick in inflation that was highly disruptive for both personal auto and homeowners, as well as an increase in CAT activity, right? Such as more in, you know, severe thunderstorm events, hurricanes, as well as wildfires. I think that's a question to be seen. I think ultimately the insurers who best weathered the storm were the ones who were quickest to identify the shifts in these trend lines and reacted immediately. Even if that came at the expense of near-term growth, I think they were the ones that, you know, kind of emerged from their profitability actions more quickly. So they were able to take a more pro-growth posture and go counter-cyclical when the rest of the market was still in the thick of their profitability actions.
Patrick, this has been so interesting, so insightful, and I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
That was Patrick Foy, Senior Director of Strategic Planning for TransUnion's insurance business. And for AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.